When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
It's a big week when RHAP is on the road in Chicago. Check out my live show from Chicago. That's going to be up on Thursday, Wednesday night. Shannon Gus is going to be live with you with Kelly Wentworth after Survivor. And we preview the Dondi finale with Deal or No Deal Island host Joe Manganiello, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cicerino back here. It's day three of the Survivor 46 preseason press tour, and we are back here with the man who talked to them all. Here he is. It's Mike Bloom.
Yes, ready to bring it home for Yanu with the final twosome, or should I say, cuesome.
Oh.
I've got plenty where that came from, Rob. It'll hopefully be a long season of Q puns.
Oh, I know. I know. Because I've heard your interview with Q and Tiffany.
Yes, though I'm sad that Q was not on Big Brother, because the BBQ stuff is right there for the taking.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right.
Also, so, Q is a Big Brother. We'll get into that.
Yes. Okay. Get the Star Trek podcast in here too, Mike. All right.
I know. First member of the Continuum to play Survivor. That gets a leg up on everybody else.
Yeah. All right. So here we are, Q and Tiffany. If you missed our first two of this series, you could check out our interviews or Mike's interviews that he did with Banu and Jelinski and then Kenzie and Jess yesterday, the final two members of this tribe here today. So we'll talk about them. And then at the end of all this today, we could talk a little bit about how we think this tribe overall will fit together. But first, let's talk about the man they call Q.
Yes, let's get into it with Quintavious, a.k.a. Q, Burdett, and Rob, breaking barriers 46 seasons in, this is the first person with a Q first name to play Survivor.
Wow. Okay. Well, good for him.
I mean, listen, you look at Scrabble tiles, you know it's one of the most uncommon letters in the alphabet. Of course, Xander broke in for the X's, and Q does five seasons later.
Yes, okay. So when we play Survivor Scrabble, okay, we got something going on. Now
that's a question, though, in Survivor Scrabble, because isn't it a word in Scrabble that, like, all words have to be at least two letters? You can't just put down Q for Survivor Scrabble. People will have to go to the dictionary for that.
Yeah, I think that might be a good thing. You might have to spell what is it, Quintavious?
Quintavious, yeah. Or you could go with Quinton for Brandon Quinton.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we'll do that next time we get together, Mike. We'll play Survivor Scrabble.
I could not think of anything more boring.
Willing to guess that also Q might be the first Survivor player to be one of 17 children.
I mean, it's certainly a small percentage of that not being true, which is an odd way to say that. Yeah, probably. I mean, one of 17. My God. I thought the Duggars were in a category of their own. Evidently not. Their story's happening all the time, as Q is, I believe what he said, the fourth oldest. So he's child number 4 out of 17, but he's hoping to place higher than 4 out of 18 here, though the number 4 will recur a lot throughout my interview with him.
Okay. So anything else you want to set up before we listen to your conversation with Q?
Q is 29 years old. He is a real estate agent with a lot of commendations. We'll get into that in my interview. He currently lives in Germantown, Tennessee, but something that will become incredibly apt for not only this person, but perhaps another on this cast. He is originally from Senatobia, Mississippi. Rob, we have not one, but two contestants from Mississippi this season. The first since Dara, the mortician, all the way back in season 7.
Okay. So, yeah, we doubled down on Mississippi, just like the S's and the P's, right?
Exactly. They all come together in twos when it comes to Mississippi.
All right. So let's listen in on Mike's conversation with Q. Of course, you can watch these interviews on our YouTube channel at robisatwebsite.com/YouTube. And then we'll come back to talk about it after we listen in to Mike and Q.
Are you going to be one of those people that's like, I'll get rained on. This is the Survivor experience.
That's,
you know, that type of thing.
Yeah. I signed up for it, right?
Listen, you knew what you came for. You watched the show.
100%.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, for audio purposes, let's just start with something quick and easy. Give me your name, age, occupation.
Yes. So my name is Quintavious Burdett. Mm-hmm. Everyone calls me Q, so please call me Q. I'm 29 years old, and I'm a real estate broker in Mississippi and Tennessee.
Interesting. How long have you been doing real estate for?
4 years now.
So, 4 years. Okay. Yep. Was this something that you wanted to do? Was this something that you ended up just finding yourself doing?
Well, after college, I'm a former athlete. Mm-hmm. I had an opportunity to try out with the Giants. It didn't work, but I had a master's in accounting. So
interesting.
I used my accounting degree to figure out that I did not want to do accounting. I was sitting inside of an office in a cubicle, mm-hmm, doing accounting work.
Cubicle, there you go.
Yes. I'm not that type of guy. So they showed me the billing report of what we were making hourly for the companies. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what? I'm out of here. I put a 2-week notice in. I kind of searched what profession I can make what I'm worth. And real estate popped up. So I was like, that's it.
What is your favorite thing about doing real estate?
It's changing, like the game of Survivor. It changes every single day.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how much information and knowledge you have. Something about that industry will change, and it's going to stun you. And it's one of those things for me, being my own boss, being selective on who I work with, those type things. I make my own schedule. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not just the ordinary guy that's selling houses. You know, I was a number 2 agent in the United States.
Whoa.
I sold over 300 properties myself. So I do it because I love it.
Yeah.
But it also allows me to have the lifestyle that I want.
That is absolutely incredible. What do you credit to that? Is it that passion, that drive?
I think it goes back to when I was 9 years old, when I was playing peewee football. And, you know, all the other kids for Christmas, they would ask for a bike or a PlayStation or something crazy that kids normally wants to have. Me, I wanted to have a weight bench. And I wanted to have a parachute. Not the ones we fly in the sky. I'm talking about the ones you scrap around your waist and you run against the wind to get faster. So I was asking for those things because, you know, I'm one of 17 kids. And when you're one of 17 kids, you better get a scholarship to go to college.
Yeah.
And it's normally where I come from, it's going to be an athletic scholarship. So I was able to play in the SEC, mm-hmm, football and run track on scholarship. But that drive just came from coming from nothing, man.
Yeah.
You know, I'm one of 17 kids. My parents never made more than 40 grand in a year supporting us. So I wanted to do something different. And knowing where I come from and where I am now, I never go back.
What number are you of 17?
I'm the fourth oldest.
Fourth oldest. Wow.
Yeah, so it's a lot of them under me.
Yeah. What was that experience like in the household?
Oh, man. It was a fight or a celebration every single day.
You never know what you're going to get.
Never. You know, either you're going to wake up and it's somebody's birthday, or you're going to wake up and you've ate somebody's brownie and now they're mad and upset. So every day, man, was a celebration or it was a fight. But it was one of those things. It prepared me for this game.
Mm.
You know, because I'm used to being around so many people. Now you're telling me I only have 16, 17 other people?
Yeah, I was going to say you went from 1 of 17 to like 1 of 18, 19, 20. It's
correct.
Not too much of an adjustment.
And when we start to vote folks off, it's going to get down to the nitty gritty. So I can live with these folks. I know how to share. I know how to say what's mine. I know how to be kind around others. And I think that's what's going to propel me in this game.
So what drove you from selling houses to building shelters? Why are you here today for me?
Man, that is a good question. For me, I have to ask myself, you know, what is something that's going to challenge me like no other, but I can still compete and also have an opportunity to win $1 million. For me, I could have stayed home and worked for 2 or 3 months and made $1 million.
Yeah.
But I can come on this show. You're talking about 26 days of work and grinding and meeting folks. So what brought me on Survivor is just that I want to challenge my inner self. Am I as connected to myself as I think? Is my mind as strong as I think? Will I break? I don't know those answers, and I'm here to find out.
So what's your history with watching Survivor? Has this always been a part of, you know, the 17-person household experience? Did you find the show later in life?
No. So we grew up on the Brady Bunch and the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. That's what we grew up on.
You watched the Brady Bunch and you're like, this looks like a walk in the park. There's six.
That's it, right. But my Survivor experience began during COVID. Mm. When I was sheltered, I had to stay home. The real estate market was slower. My wife, who was in college at the time, they dismissed and she had to come home and she watched Survivor. She's the super fan.
Wow.
She's been watching since day one. Mm. But she introduced me to the show. And let me tell you, I was hooked.
Yes.
I watched every season in about maybe a 3-month span.
Wow.
Like from season 1 to 40 at that time.
Yeah.
Then I've caught up and watched them as they come on lately. But I went back, man. I bought the Paramount app and I watched and watched and watched and watched. And the way this game has evolved is nothing. I don't think there's anything that compares to it.
Yeah.
You know, you go back to football when they wasn't wearing helmets.
Right.
This game has changed more than that.
Oh, most certainly.
So it's crazy.
So through all you're watching, give me a winner and a non-winner that you identify with the most, in your opinion.
Oh, from my season?
From any season.
So a winner who I would say from day one, they got it. Mm. They have me in a bag is Jeremy.
Mm-hmm.
He's a winner, man. He's a dad. He's a husband. He's a great, great guy, fireman.
Yeah.
And he's a winner in life, in this game. Someone who I don't think is a winner is the Russell people, the hands, both of them.
Yeah.
You know, I think they come from a world that I don't come from of arrogance and they're evil, evil people. So
yeah.
I don't think they're winners in my book.
Yeah. What's interesting is you talk about like coming from the world of athletics, coming from your family, like it feels like you have such a sense of a team environment. How tough is that going to be for Survivor, though, where it's like, yeah, it's tribal for a while, but only one person's going to walk away with that $1 million check.
Correct. And that is the name of the game. We play all those games throughout the season, and we have all those practices. But guess what? It's 50-some people on a team. Only 11 of them start.
Yeah.
And there's only one trophy at the end of it. In a race, there's only one first-place ribbon. So I'm used to having to compete for that top spot. And there's no better place now to conquer what I've always wanted to conquer is the very, very top. See, I was number 2 in the country. I wasn't number 1.
Mm.
I'm coming into this game. All odds are against me.
Yeah.
I'm young. I'm athletic. I would say I'm likable.
Uh-huh.
That's a recipe for a disaster. But I'm going to cook this thing up to where it spins and the recipe tastes how I want it.
Oh, I love that. So yeah, talk to me about what you think your perception is going to be. Do you think people are just going to look at you and make those assumptions you're thinking and say like, oh yeah, meat shield alert.
Yes, I think that I will be perceived as a shield.
Mm-hmm.
But what they don't realize is I'm going to perceive a lot of them as my shield. And I have to talk. I have to make sure that they understand that that's what I am until it's too late.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be an opportunity that I've already built up in my head that if I can make it to 10, I'm good. And then if I can get to 7, game's over. Because I plan on winning challenges 7, 6, 5, and I'll make fucking fire at 4. Sorry for cursing.
No, I had a question about that because you have such a sense of competition in you. I mean, would you ever throw a challenge, either tribal or individual, if you felt like it served a greater purpose?
I'm not about that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to throw challenges because in my life, you only get one opportunity.
Mm.
And momentum is a real thing. A lot of folks don't understand. If you give someone life momentum, that thing can turn and roll down a hill the opposite direction quicker than you can catch it.
Yeah.
So I'm not about that. And if I catch wind of somebody throwing a challenge as part of my team, they're gone.
Really?
They're gone. I do everything in my power to see them leave this island.
Yeah.
If I have an idol in my pocket and I know where the votes are going, I'll protect somebody outside of my alliance to get that person out of the game.
Wow.
Because I don't stand for that.
My God. I mean, listen, yeah, you got to come in with morals, right? You got to come in with something to stand for. And that's very, very clearly something you stand for, man.
We're not throwing challenges. If you have thought about it, child, please.
What do you think is one life experience that's prepared you most for this? Because you've lived a hell of a life so far. Do you pinpoint something in particular that makes you feel like, I could use this on the beach?
March 8th, 1994, the day I was born. To the parents that I was born to the situation that I was born into.
Uh-huh.
That has prepared me for anything in life, not just the game of Survivor. But if I have to get more political and give you the right, correct answer, I was saying just my days playing ball. Mm. You know, we have to wake up early. We have to outwork folks. If you want to start, you want to play, you have to beat the next guy. You cannot be off of your game for 1 second.
Yeah.
And if you are, there's somebody that's looking to take your spot. And out here, that is the same thing. If you're off of your game, if you miss a conversation that you're supposed to be in, if you say the wrong thing, you do the wrong thing one time, you're gone.
Yeah.
So you have to be cautious of that. But also being able to dissect and come into a game with a game plan, understanding that I'm going to have to change.
Yeah. So when it comes to that preparation, I mean, obviously from an athletic perspective, like, you know, you've got a pretty good like sense of skills there. But did you do anything in particular knowing what was coming with Survivor physically, socially, strategically, all that stuff?
Yeah. So one thing that I did before I came again, I made sure I watched all the seasons.
Okay.
Just so I can get a grasp of kind of what Survivor might throw at me.
Yeah.
But then again, what I did was I went back and I watched certain players like Jeremy.
Yeah.
I went back and I watched Jeremy's season from the very first time he played. All right. He played a good game. He got kind of caught up in some things he shouldn't have, and he got voted out. His next time playing, he adjusted. He was the same Jeremy. His style was the same. His reason was the same.
Yeah.
But he adjusted so much, it allowed him to win that season. So I wanted to watch how he played the first time versus the second time. And what I want to play is a combination of both. I don't want to play like Jeremy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
Yeah.
I don't want to play like any Survivor player in history.
You want to play like
Q? I want to play like Q. I want when the kids turn the TV on, they say, I want to go on Survivor and I want to play like Q. But I want to say, Jeremy inspired me because what he stood for on this game is something is greater than anything that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
A man being vulnerable about his love and his support for his family and why he's here. He was unapologetic, emotional about that. And that really touched me.
Yeah.
And it's still a black man at that.
Yeah.
Be able to go through something like that on TV and it comes out on the back end, he can win and win $1 million and be the sole survivor. Man, that's all I needed.
Does that feel like it gives you the permission to do the same? Because, you know, you have a lot of passion. You have that sense for competition. But do you feel like it will inevitably happen, but you're ready for, like, the game to kind of rip you wide open and show you parts of yourself you didn't realize?
I am so ready for that. And here's what I tell people all the time. I don't need permission to do nothing.
Mm.
I just need opportunity. If you give me opportunity, I'm going to make it happen. So with me, I understand that there's going to be some challenging times out here. I've even thought of what might happen.
Mm.
And I've already come up with the responses within, so there's no doubt. I'm willing, if the challenge presents itself, the challenge that I've thought about, like, I'm willing to black out before I give out. That's the mentality that I'm in right now.
Yeah.
So when I'm in the game, I've already told myself this. So when that doubt starts to creep in, I don't have to answer to it.
Yeah.
I already have the answer. You know, so I'm excited to get out there, to be able to play. Yes, I might get emotional. I will say now, you guys won't see tears from Q on TV.
Is that a promise?
I can't promise that, but I can guarantee it.
There we go. How comparable do you think it is to selling a property to the game of Survivor? I mean, like, the most comparable example I can think of is the Final Tribal Council, right? Like,
yes,
pitching your game. But I would imagine salesmanship is something that you can do every single minute you're on the beach.
I would think that that Final Tribal Council is like going into a listing appointment to get a seller to say, hey, choose me to sell your $5 million house.
Mm.
I think that's going to be the same. The recipe for me when I go in a house is be personable, be honest, open, tell my story. And tribal is those four things as well. So if I could connect with the jury and going into it, I don't go to a listing unprepared.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to show up to this game of Survivor unprepared. What does that mean? I understand that the folks that we vote out now has the power to vote me the money.
Right.
So I'm not going to treat anybody like crap. If you treat them like crap, I'm going to be their shoulder to lean on. And I'm going to make sure they remember it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's my job. But I also want folks to understand that my sales job is what's going to make the difference for me out here. because I can sell you on any idea.
Yeah.
Just give me the product. And out here, the product is not snuffing my torch.
Are you going to tell anybody that you're a real estate agent?
So, debatable.
Yeah.
A lot of folks look at salesmen as this sneaky, grimy guy. I think I can get away with telling folks that I'm a former athlete. Now I'm a coach, volunteer coach at my high school. I got a lawn business. So I can probably get away with that.
Yeah.
But it's going to show that I'm much more than just a dumb athlete and a coach that just shows up. I think they eventually see what I'm hoping is by the time they see it, it's too late.
Well, speaking of your competition, what are you looking for in an alliance? Are you looking for like a number one or ride or die, or are you just looking for general qualities?
Yeah, so what I'm looking for is a like-minded people.
Mm-hmm.
So someone who's going to be headstrong. But I understand to be a shield, I need a shield. So I don't want my alliance to be full of folks who are using me as shields. I want two or three people with me that are also challenge beasts. I need somebody that can do a puzzle, because there's going to come a time where someone in your alliance is going to have to win in order for things to go the way you want. I want to make sure I build that the right way, but I want to build it with the people that want to see me in the game. And if you feel like I'm too big of a threat because I can potentially win a challenge and you don't see yourself ever winning a challenge, then you're probably not going to be in the Cure Alliance.
Yeah.
But I want somebody who's loyal, that can, I can look them in the eyes, I can tell them, hey, this is what's going on. They can tell me, Q, this is what's going on. But also, somebody who understands, I'm going to protect you, period. You have to protect me. And if I can find two or three people like that, on top of being able to connect with other folks, I think we got a shot.
Well, let's talk about some assessments now. I mean, you've been spending some time with these people.
Yep.
I know it's just off of vibes, but what good vibes are you getting from? Can you describe some of these people that you're feeling like, okay, if we do hunker down on the beach together, like, I think we could go in together.
I'm getting a couple, you know, smiles, a couple winks. I don't know if it's from the ladies or the guys. I won't say. But what I will say is I'm picking up on cues. I know within this group of 20, I know who eats first every time meal is served. I know he sleeps in his spare time. I know who have to snack. I know all those little things. I woke up yesterday and I saw two young ladies. They have flowers in their hair. I haven't seen these flowers anywhere else. All of a sudden, they got flowers. And I told myself, I said, if I wake up today and someone else have a flower outside of these two girls, I might be in trouble. Well, a new girl had a flower this morning. So I think they're sharing flowers. So there's some talking going on. But I understand that I think, I'm not 100% sure, but I think we have another guy here from Mississippi.
Oh, you think so?
Because on his hat, it said FC. On his pants, it said FC with a like a cougar type thing. In Mississippi, that's Farewell Christian.
Oh, interesting.
So he might be from Mississippi. And if that's true, that's all I need, baby.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
That's a good thing.
It's a good thing.
Oh, yeah. Us Mississippi folks, we stick together now.
Interesting. Okay.
We don't stick together. And as long as he understands that we're in it together, I lose to him. But I need him to understand that he can he have to lose to me, too.
You got your mission.
And there we go. There we go. And he's a physical threat. So we might click up and we might run the game from start to finish. What I will say is this. The tribe that I start on, there will be at least two from that tribe in the Final Four.
Okay. Is that if your challenge wins from like unity, like we're all working
just
together?
Unity. We're going to win. We're going to work together. And I'm going to make sure I condition the mind to understand that we're all in it together.
Yeah.
Once it's your job is to get as close to these five or six or whatever on this tribe, because we're going to win.
Yeah. I mean, that's, we saw with the Three Stooges last season, right? Like there's a lot of power in joining up with people that you were played with and you're like, let's like slip under the radar, but let's like run this shit together.
That is the best thing. But people get greedy.
Right.
They start to get insecure. And I'm going to make sure I check those insecurities. I'm going to make sure I have people feeling like $1 million.
So they can give you $1 million.
There we go. And if you can control that, if you can get people all on one accord that are saying, you know what? This guy's right. If we stick together five and all I have to do is beat out one more person within my five with relationships and connection within the other four, to make it to the Final Four to be able to make fire, I got a pretty shot, a pretty good chance.
Yeah.
And that's the story I want to sell to those people. And from the jump, I want to make sure that we win the first challenge. I don't know how they're going to break this thing up. It's 20 people, so it might be 10, 10. It might be 5, 5, 5.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, I just want to make sure for the first two, at least, we get a dub.
Mm-hmm.
If we can do that, we're going to put ourselves in position to have two from our tribe in the final.
So let's talk about something from your bio. You said you were a crazy risk taker.
Yes.
And that you are the luckiest person that you know. I mean, let's talk about a game that's all about luck. Let's talk about a game that's all about risk.
Yes.
Nowadays. How much is that going to play into the way that you approach things?
I think that's going to play heavily because of I understand that I'm here to lose. I understand that all the odds are stacked against me to lose. I also understand I don't need the money. So I can take the risk right now in order to get further in this game. And I will take those risks understanding that at some point it's going to catch me. And I might get lucky and it might not catch me. And when I say I'm the luckiest person in the world, I go back to stories from when I first started in real estate. I sold 106 houses my very first year in the business.
Wow.
A lot of people say, man, that's luck. I say it's luck and a lot of hard work, but I give it to luck.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And then me being able to come on this game and survive. I submitted one video, one time, and I got on. Just luck. A lot of people have been submitting videos 5, 10 years.
Right.
So I'm meant to be here for a reason. I'm here to find out why.
Mm-hmm. So let's say Bo shows up at your camp on day two. You know, someone steps out. You know what's happening. Pick one person to go on a journey. Are you volunteering? Are you trying to get like someone else to go?
I'm definitely not volunteering.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to suggest we draw rocks or sticks or something so it's random. But if somebody volunteers, let me tell you, you're going home. So whatever you go out there and you do and you get or you don't get,
yeah,
I don't care. I will make sure you go home.
Interesting. Just because that shows in the moment, like...
If you volunteer.
Yeah.
Yes. That you're here to play the game extremely too hard and too fast for me.
Interesting.
Jesus, slow it down. Child, please.
Well, when it comes to that perspective, in general with advantages, what are your thoughts about it? Is this something you want to actively pursue? How hungry are you for them?
Oh, I'm looking.
You're looking?
Listen, I'm from Mississippi. Small town. I'm here to work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking. I'm looking right now. You don't even know it. Hopefully we come back to this same exact location.
I guarantee you there's nothing here. I've searched. I don't think I found anything yet.
There we go. But I'm looking, and here's the difference. When I find it, you won't even know.
Mm.
I won't even know I have it when I find it.
Well, you don't know if it's real or fake. We've learned that recently, right?
Well, you're right. It better have the parchment that says it's real.
Yeah.
But I'm not telling anybody about it. I'm going to bury it somewhere, and it's going to come with me everywhere I go. But I just don't think it doesn't matter how close you are in an alliance with someone. When you go to sharing that information, things change.
Yeah.
Because they think you can eventually use it against them. But also, we have knowledge is power, and the idol nullifier that we don't know if it's going to be on our season or not. So you go to blobbering your mouth about advantages and somebody takes what you have, your game changes on a dime. And I don't want to risk that. So if I find something, I can almost guarantee you right now, today, I can promise you that. Won't a soul know about it.
What is your hottest Survivor take? What do you think is your most like controversial opinion about a person, a season, the show, anything you want?
I think Jam Jam winning.
Yeah.
I didn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Jam Jam had a better final tribal council than the two ladies.
Yeah.
But gameplay wise, I thought Carolyn played the best game.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I get why the jury did what they did. Again, Carolyn choked at the final. Heidi choked at the final. She was kind of weird with her. Thank you for the question. That was kind of quirky.
Yeah.
And I think she made a ballsy move to put herself in position to make fire, but she had to do that.
Right.
If we date back, that time, Natalie did not do that.
Yeah.
Whereas I thought she did enough in that game to beat Tony, but the jury decided she did not.
Right.
But if she would have done that, she would have won.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but in Heidi's situation where she had to do it, she won, she still lost. I think she got one vote maybe because of it, which is nice. But I just didn't see the Jam Jam deal.
Mm-hmm. What was it about Carolyn that you felt was so leagues above Jam Jam?
I just thought Carolyn was so wacky. Carolyn had idols. Carolyn had she didn't share information when she could have.
Yeah.
I think she was in control of her emotions, although it might have seemed like she wasn't, she knew exactly what she was doing, you know? And her game was just, to me, just overall better than Jam Jam's game and Heidi's combined, if you had to combine those two, because of, you know, she was a part of that alliance. She was a core part of the alliance. She just wasn't someone they was coattailing alone. She was making real decisions, but she can keep her mouth shut.
Yeah.
She can dip into the other side and make them think that she's about to flip and switch, and then she don't.
Mm-hmm. Last thing I want to ask, give you a big what if here. If you could bring a celebrity or a fictional character out for a loved one's visit, who are you picking and why?
If I could bring a celebrity or a fictional character out, I would probably, I'm almost certain that I would probably bring maybe Black Panther.
Okay, there we go. Come out, T'Challa.
I need some of that juice, you know, because that juice there is going to help me.
So he's going to smuggle in the heart-shaped herb. He's just going to bury you in the ground.
But outside of everything, I want to bring my wife, man.
Yeah.
This is her dream. She can't come because she's in PA school right now. She's been watching since season one. I just started watching during COVID. So, you know, that person that deserves to be here is her.
Yeah.
And I'll make sure, that's one of my things that I want to make sure I get to that visit if they're having it this season. I'm not sure. But if they are, I want to make sure Emily gets an opportunity to see this wonderful place.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what I'm getting so much of a vibe off of you, man, is just passion. Passion for your sport, passion for your job, passion for this game, passion for your wife. And that makes me so excited for you as a player. Like, no matter what, you're going to bring it. And I,
100%.
And I'm so excited to see what's going to happen,
man. Yes, sir.
Thank you. Yes.
I'll take my cue and start talking now.
Yeah. You did miss one. He said something about, like, he was taking the cues. It was like, cues.
I mean, I didn't want to scream too loudly, and I already derailed the interview a fair amount of times. I feel like one more might have been overkill, but my God, what a fun person to talk to. The real essence I got from Q can be summed up in three words: passion and pecs. That's
passion
really what
and
I
pecs.
I mean, this guy is built, and you could feel the energy coming off of him. Like, I don't want to use the word intensity, because sort of like what we were talking about with Jess, with like frivolity, it feels like it has a negative connotation to it.
I wasn't checking out the pecs today, but I guess I'll have to go back.
I mean, it's a good shirt. You should check it out. But yeah, I think Q obviously has a deep amount of passion for everything that he does in his life, whether it is athletics, whether it is being prolific at real estate and being Survivor as well. He's going to bring that similar amount of energy to it. And we'll talk about whether that's going to work for him or not, but I love it.
He loves Jeremy Collins. He's not worried about antagonizing any of the Hanses.
Yes, exactly. Which, good for you, Q. This is the attitude you want to bring in. People associated with Q tend to not worry about antagonizing people. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah.
Oh, I just realized. Yeah, you think a specific group of people are going to watch Survivor thinking that Q is finally playing?
I don't know. Maybe he might bring in some fans. Okay. And so he is ready to go. He's playing with house money, literally and figuratively.
Yeah, this is interesting because I've certainly seen a cogent argument that people have made of like, we need to cast more people that are hungry for the money, that really need it, so then they won't be as celebratory as when they're voted out. Q's almost like the opposite end of that horseshoe, that horse Q, where he's like, I could make $1 million just by snapping my fingers right now and selling a luxury mansion
like
to somebody.
Q.
Yeah, exactly. Like, exactly. I'm going to do this for me. I'm going to do this to have some fun and hopefully learn a little bit about myself along the way.
Yeah. What's in it for Q? Yeah. So we got to feel good about Q overall. The presentation was good. He's, you know, very much a strong player in the game and somebody who I think is going to be, I think, around for a bit. I just go back to the Caleb of it all where, you know, and I think that he is probably, I think, has like less polish in terms of like what Caleb was, just so like effortless and you know that people really just like picked up on like, oh, okay, like he's got, I can see what he's doing. And so I don't think it's going to be quite as rough for Q, But that being said, I understand his plan, but I just kind of feel like that at some point people are not going to let Q get to where he needs to be, which he says is 7, and then he wins out all the challenges and makes that effing fire.
Yeah, that's so interesting that he was essentially playing. Remember when they did 21 in Survivor Thailand, where he's like, okay, all I need to do is get to 7, because then once that happens, I know how to get to 4. So then I need to get to 10. I'm good. If I get to 7, I'm great. Like, I don't think that's exactly how the Survivor endgame worked. It's certainly an idealized version of it. And perhaps he sort of sees himself as a Drea type of like, well, I'll have 3 advantages surrounding me so I can automatically get to 4. And then I'm making that effing fire. But Q, to bring up your point about Caleb, I mean, it really is much like the Survivor 46 logo, like night and day comparing the two of them from a perceptions perspective, because not to get too much in the line of how the other 11 members, 13 members of the cast have been talking about people at Ponderosa. But Caleb certainly got a lot of eyes on him, both positive and negative in the 45 preseason, if you remember correctly. Not a lot coming from Q. We'll talk about, obviously, our next person, spoiler alert, had some eyes for Q, but definitely not in the ways that people were talking about Caleb of like, he's smiling at everybody. I could tell he's schmoozing everyone. Q absolutely has the vocational skills to do that. I mean, good God, number 2 real estate agent in the country, which is just wild. I don't even know how that's
measured.
Was that
measured. The country?
He said he was the number 2 agent in the United States. So I'm not sure if that's like for his specific brand or real estate house that he's working for. I think he was the number 1 agent for like the Mississippi, Tennessee area. But still, like, that is very, very high for him to be able to do. And so he definitely has those skills. But I think also something that differentiates him from Caleb is that, you know, people might be able to, if not buy it more, at least go along with what he's saying because of the physicality aspect.
Well, Mike, if we could just like stay with Caleb for one more second, that, you know, that Caleb is a guy who is sort of like, you know, he has all of these talents and skills, but he's almost like miscast for the type of player that I think that Caleb is, where Caleb is like a player that like wants to be like playing from the bottom, or is like, you know,
he wants to be the villain.
He's like, wants to be like the guy, the scrappy guy who you forget about, who, and he's just like that. Unfortunately, that's just not how like people view him. Q is somebody who is, I think, typecast to be playing from the front, playing from the lead. He wants to play from the lead. And I think that he, I think, has a chance to be able to do what he says that he is going to set out to do. I do think that if Q wins, it will be one of the more boring seasons that we ever have, because like basically it's just going to be Q surrounds it, like Q's tribe wins all the challenges in the pre-merge. They come in with numbers. He keeps all of his like meat shields in front of him. And then ultimately leads this group to the 7, where he wins all the challenges, makes the effing fire, and then wins the game.
Yeah, what do you make of his big prediction that of his original tribe, at least 2 of them will be sitting in the final 4?
Yeah, that's pretty big. That's pretty big. That's... I hope none of them have tried to throw a challenge.
Oh, God. God help them if they do. This man will put every spirit into your body if you even think about throwing a challenge.
Nobody said they would throw a challenge in this group so far.
Yeah, not so far. This man does not know the reading of the word throw. He was a wide receiver. He's more so about catching than throwing.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, feel good about Q.
Yeah, so Q is obviously going to be, I think, the most valuable physical asset for Yanu to start, right? He definitely is, from a physical perspective, one of the standouts of this cast.
Can you give us like a height and weight, Mike? Because it's hard to tell when they're sitting down.
Oh, well, let me see. I can actually probably look at one of his, combine profiles.
Okay.
Well.
Yeah, that's good.
So this is from when he went to the New York Giants rookie mini camp. 5'11", 186 pounds.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say like 6'6".
No. So Hunter, who we can talk about, is the other sort of like Mississippi elephant in the room, is the much taller Jonathan Young like figure. I would say, though, that I think Q has more of like the Jonathan Young physicality to him, and that he does look one of the most sculpted people of the season. And so I would imagine that it's probably trifold almost in that he's physically strong, so he's great in the challenges. He has this like obvious leadership capabilities. Yeah. He's going to lie about his job saying that he's a coach. So I imagine that people are going to turn to him for like those motivational aspects. If they are losing, that Q will be the one to sort of rally the troops. And then simultaneously, I think because of that perception that Q wants to come across as, they're not going to view him as a big threat. They're not going to say like, oh, Q is running this tribe. We have to get rid of him now. He's too devious. And that's exactly what Q wants. What I thought was interesting was when I asked him about, you're used to coming from a team sport background. Obviously, that competitive drive is going to take you through Survivor. But like, how much is that going to bear out at the end of the day? He did say, hey, yeah, I am used to playing on teams. But like, there is also a process where you're going from 50 guys to 11 to make the final roster. And there is that sense of competing against one another. And so yeah. I am happy that
11 start.
Yeah, exactly. So I am happy that even if he feels like, okay, we're going tribe strong, it's not this idea of, okay, if we all make it to the end, then we all win. That's my goal. Even though he expresses that, there is that individualistic portion of his competitive drive that I really appreciate.
Okay, looking forward to seeing Q. All right, Mike, anything else about Q before we start to shift to Tiffany?
Yeah, I mean, Q said he could eat two boxes of pizza in one setting by himself. I will admit on that note, and again, about his physique, and we spoke about Jonathan, I am a little worried about the lack of nutrition for Q if there is a chance that they will be undergoing a lot of caloric deficiency. I could see Q be one of the first people to like surprisingly die down at first if he didn't stock up on a lot of reserves. So again, Yondu is kind of teetering where they could do really well if they get momentum, but like if they're not getting anything, if they're Lulu style not getting Flint to make fire and Q is suffering, he could be one of those first big guys to go down hard. But I personally think that I see him making the merge, but to the point you made earlier, I don't know if I can see him making the end. I feel like there's little to no chance that unless he's surrounded by people who similarly want to take him to the end and then take him out, I don't see how you let this guy get to his mythical seven.
No, I wouldn't think so. But I guess we'll see how it all plays out when they get going here on Survivor 46. All right, we've got one more person to talk about. Spoiler alert, I think Mike Bloom loved his time talking with Tiffany, and we will learn about her when we come back right after this.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in business into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
All right, Mike, let's talk about Tiffany.
Yeah, despite the fact that I was not on camera, you could probably hear the smile on my face that I had from talking with Tiffany. Tiffany, a 32-year-old artist from Elizabeth, New Jersey. She credits herself as a visual artist, but she actually does a lot, which we'll get into a bit more on the other side of our interview since I did a bit of a deep dive into her personal website. But yeah, had a lot of fun chatting with Tiff.
Okay. All right. So let's listen to what Mike had to say with Tiffany, and then we'll come back and talk about it. So here is Mike and Tiffany.
Start things off. Let's just do a simple audio check. Why don't you give me your name, your age, and your occupation?
Okay, I'm Tiffany. I'm 32 years old, and I'm an artist.
Incredible. What type of art do you do?
I do visual art. So painting, digital art. I work with like Adobe Premiere, Illustrator, Photoshop.
How long have you been doing art for?
I started doing art in 2016.
Okay.
So not really that long, actually. I work in video production as well, but art is like my main jam that I'm working on right now.
Interesting. What made you decide to make that pivot?
You know what's funny? So I still like do both,
right.
But it was really because somebody told me that I couldn't. Somebody told me that I wasn't an artist, and I'm like, I was so determined to prove that person wrong, and then I ended up parlaying a career out of it and like loving it and just being really good at it. So it really started for me just being defiant.
Yeah. Well, what's one of your favorite thing about being an artist? Because it is such a tough vocation in any
Oh,
form.
Absolutely.
Especially, I would imagine visual art where it's so subjective as to whether or not it's good.
But I think that might be like my favorite part about it.
Really?
There's no right or wrong way to be an artist. You literally can just do whatever you want. I feel like I wake up and I just do stuff. Like, there's so much freedom and there's so many different avenues you can take. You meet so many interesting people. I'm obsessed with the fact that I can kind of just do whatever I want. I can make my career whatever I want it to be.
So then that being said, what made you decide that the next picture on your canvas is going to be Survivor player? What has led you in front of me today?
You know what? I have been a Survivor fan since I was a teenager.
Okay.
And I actually applied to the show like 10 years ago. Didn't even get a call, by the way. Did not even get a call back.
Jeff.
Right? But you know what? I'm grateful because if I would have gotten on a show as a 22-year-old, you know, dewy-eyed, I would have gotten chewed up and spit out. But me, a decade later, I've seen some things. I've been through some things. And I feel like I'm way more ready now than I ever was before.
What do you remember, a season or a player that like got you into
that
it?
Got me amped
that started you watching it?
So I don't think there was a particular player or season that started me watching it. I actually started watching it because of one of my best friends. Like, I was spending the night at her house one day, and her mom used to watch Survivor. And I'm like, oh, what's this? And they kind of got me into it. I do know the player that I personally admire is Natalie Anderson.
Let's talk about this. Yeah. I want you to give me one winner and one non-winner. And so winner would be Natalie?
Yeah. Natalie for sure is the winner that I admire the most because I feel like she was just so tactful and patient. And patience is an area that I struggle with in my everyday life. So I'm hoping that I could kind of, you know, be better with that. I'm an instant gratification girl. So I know that it doesn't always work that way on Survivor, and I'm hoping to be able to, you know, hone my skills in that department.
The good news is you have 26 days, and so now you don't need to wait 39 days to win, right?
Exactly.
More
exactly.
Immediate gratification.
Exactly. Now, as far as non-winners go, I really liked watching Shan play the game because I feel like there was so much potential there. I think she just got caught up in her emotions just a little bit too much. And while I am, you know, a bit of an emotional person myself, I'm hoping to be able to kind of maybe pick up where she left off. Because her mind around strategy, beautiful. But she got a little too bogged down with, like, relationships and the nuances of those things instead of just being more cut and dry about it.
What's your favorite moment in Survivor history? Did it involve any of those players you just talked about or something completely different?
Ironically, no. And my favorite moment in Survivor history is probably Tony's Spy Shack.
Yeah.
Because I was blown away. I'm like, this guy is a total Looney Tune. But at the same time, it's like, dang, you got to have some guts to be able to do some crazy stuff like that. Because, you know, everybody wants to say, oh, yeah, I will be this type of player or that type of player. But to see somebody to actually just come out here and go for the gusto like that blew me away.
So now are you like already scouting out trees and shrubs of like,
listen, I'm gonna keep it real with you. I am probably not going to build a spy shack. That's not my ministry, but I admire Tony for doing that. Listen, there can only be one Tony.
Yeah, that is very true.
Many have tried, few have succeeded. So I'm gonna leave the spy shack into him and I'm gonna figure out a way to carve my own path in this game.
What do you think is one life experience that has prepared you for this? Is it cutting your path, like you said, moving to be an artist, or is it something else?
I definitely believe that me becoming an artist has prepared me for the game because, number one, like you said, it's a pretty difficult career to kind of be successful in. And while I'm like mildly successful and probably like in the very beginning stages of my career, I have had some really big wins. Like, you know, I was able to have my artwork displayed in Madison Square Garden.
Wow.
I've worked with like, you know, major brands like Nike and Adidas.
Oh man.
And this is all just me being self-taught.
Yeah.
Figuring things out on my own, building relationships, and kind of just being able to make others think that what I want is also best for them.
Mm.
So that's a skill that's very useful out here.
Is that, would you say that's your biggest superpower is, you know, being able to convince someone to do something, to literally sell a piece?
Oh, for sure. I would couple that with me just having a really high emotional intelligence.
Oh, okay.
I think that it's very easy for me to connect with people. It's very easy for me to read people. And it's also really interesting and easy for me to kind of see when there's a shift in emotions, caused by me or not, I think that that's really going to help me out here.
What would you say is your biggest, on the other hand, kryptonite?
I'm too nice sometimes.
Okay.
But also on the flip side, I cannot control my facial expressions sometimes. So we're going to work on that. I'm definitely a work in progress. And sometimes I tend to be a little bit of a people pleaser.
Okay.
And out here, that's not going to serve you in any form or fashion. So.
That's tough. I mean, listen, the good news is Survivor Twitter will be eating up your facial reactions. The bad news is people in the moment might not.
They will not. So I'm going to have to really, you know, lock it in, box it in, keep it cute. But hopefully it doesn't get me in too much trouble.
Yeah. You said in your bio that you have no filter.
I don't.
How tough is that going to be, considering information's currency? Like, are you afraid that you're just so excited about having an advantage that just like something slips?
Oh, see, no. I don't have a filter when it comes to me letting people know how I feel.
Okay.
When I'm a person that's upset, I'm letting everybody know that I'm upset. But when it comes to keeping secrets, oh, I can do that.
Okay.
Like, but I don't think it's going to be an issue with me like letting a couple things slip, because I plan on being a little messy out here anyway. So, you know, if I stir a little something here or there because I accidentally let something slip that somebody told me, I don't think there's any problem with that.
Yeah, but to go back to what you said before, it could be tough, right? If like, let's just talk about last season, Carson and Jam Jam leave Carolyn out of a vote.
Yeah.
Like, it's tough to not be her in that situation, to your point of like, I'm mad that you did this thing and I'm not going to hide it.
Yeah. But also, I think you kind of, you have to find like a balance, right?
Of course.
There's a benefit to letting everybody know that you're mad, but you also have to toe the line.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you do too much, then everybody's going to be like, okay, she's a liability. She can't keep her shit together. We got to get rid of her. But I'm hoping I can toe that line between letting everybody know, don't play in my face, and also like, okay, I can roll with the punches. I can be a team player here.
What do you think people are going to perceive you as out here?
Well, I don't know what they're going to perceive me as, but what I hope they perceive me as.
There we go. Try to manifest it.
I hope they think that I'm just like this really docile, sweet, and easy to beat artist who doesn't really know much about the game, but you know, you can kind of take her along, use her for votes. I don't want to be perceived as somebody who's doing a whole bunch of overthinking and strategizing, because those are the people that they want to get up out of here first.
Yeah, you mentioned something in your bio about how your friends say that you live in a land of sunshine and unicorns or something like that.
Okay, so my best friends, they joke around with me all the time and they call me like delusional, because they're like, Tiffany, yeah, I know, it sounds nuts, but here's the thing, it's not always a bad thing, right? Because I live in a land of, I think I can do anything, I can accomplish anything, like, but that's really what my life has been up until this point. When I want to do things, I do them, and 88% of the time things work out for me. Like, they even joke around and call me God's favorite, but you can't be God's favorite without a little bit of delusion that things are just gonna go your way, right?
Yeah, well, let me talk to me about that. Like, how much has luck incorporated into your life? You said that like you love playing games, you love playing the lottery. I mean,
I'm so lucky.
Survivor.
I'm so freaking lucky. Like, I love playing the lottery because most of the time I win. I mean, I haven't won like any major life-changing prizes, but I usually do win.
I was gonna say, if you do not let that information slip.
No, I haven't. I wish. But no, like, when I play games, I usually win. I'm very competitive. And I think that's why I don't like to lose, because I'm not used to it.
Yeah.
I'm used to things working out. And a lot of the times my friends have to tell me, Tiffany, be realistic. You're not thinking in the real world. And I'm like, I don't have to think in the real world. I'm thinking in Tiffany's world. And in Tiffany's world, things go right and they go the way I want them to go.
Amazing. So how is that going to incorporate for you in like the advantage aspect, right? Considering Survivor is all about taking a risk, gambling, putting your vote up. Is this something you're just going to involuntarily do? Or are you really trying to say, like, do not take that temptation?
I'm a gambling gal, and I'm not good with resisting temptation. So I'm not even going to sit up here and lie to you and pretend that if I see an advantage, I'm not going to take it. I'm a girl. I'm going to act now and deal with the consequences later.
Yeah. Do you have thoughts about how you would deal with those consequences? Like, lie, deny?
Yeah, why not? I'll lie, I'll deny, I'll do whatever I gotta do. I'm a by any means necessary type of girl, and that's the type of game I'm trying to play out here. I don't care who I have to lie to. I don't care what alliances I have to switch. I'm in the guys alliance. I'm in a girls alliance. Hell, I'll be in a trees alliance if that's going to get me a step further in the game. Like,
I mean, you'll get the numbers if you're in a trees alliance. I think they got the numbers are certainly against them.
Exactly. Like, I'm going to do what has to be done no matter what, because at the end of the day, we're only going to get one shot at this. Well, most people only get one shot at this. And I would never forgive myself if I came out here and played a whack ass, scared ass game. That's not what I came here for.
Well, let's talk about some of your competition a bit.
Okay.
Is there something you value in an alliance partner? Are you looking for a ride or die or a day one?
Okay, so I would love to have a ride or die. I would love to have a day one. And what I would really love is loyalty. But this is Survivor, so to ask for loyalty is just really stupid. It's only one prize, and we're all fighting for it.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would like is, I mean, maybe I'll have a little bit of loyalty.
Yeah.
But I would like somebody who can think outside of the box. Somebody who's not going to get shaken up when we're in a really crappy situation. Because nine times out of 10, when things are going in Survivor, they're probably going to shit. So, you know, what can we do? I don't want a person that's going to panic. I want a person that's going to sit down and say, all right, what can we do to get ourselves out of this hole?
Mm.
So a creative thinker and somebody who's going to be able to keep their shit together.
So that being said, it's been days. You've been, you know, certainly eyeballing these people that you've been around with. Is there anyone for one reason or another that you are like getting good vibes off of? If you're on the same beach as them, best case scenario.
Yeah, I think so. There's a guy, kind of tall, athletic looking, dark skin. Just something about him just feels like he's a competitor. Something about him feels like he's not going down without a fight, or like, you know, just from looks, like he looks like a freaking action figure. Like,
and you're like, time to play with you.
If I'm going to war, I want him next to me.
Well, what about on the other side of things? Is there anyone that you're picking up not so good vibes from?
So I wouldn't say that there's anybody that I'm picking up not so good vibes from, but there's definitely somebody who's giving me like too nice. Like, you're looking a little too nice for me. Like,
interesting.
So there's a guy. He has like a dark beard, like a dark full beard. And he just feels a little too friendly. Something about it I don't trust. When people are too nice, I'm like, you hiding something.
Yeah, that's that tri-state girl in you, right? You're like, we don't say hi on the streets of New York.
Exactly. In New Jersey and in New York, we mind our business. We don't smile for no reason. You're not just smiling at me for no reason. Something's up.
So We talked about this before, but let's say in the first couple days, a boat pulls up to your camp and someone gets out and says, you got to pick one person to go on a journey. Are you like trying to say me? Are you trying to get someone else to go?
See, that's the tough part. The gambling girl in me is like, hell yeah, I want to go. But the survivor strategist in me is like, Tiffany, be fucking for real. Like, if you are the first person off this island with no other reason for people to vote you out, you're giving them a reason right then and there. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I might have to have a conversation with myself and really, you know, figure that out. I can't give you a yes or no. It's gonna be a game day decision.
Well, you mean, you talked about the risking and the gambling stuff. Are you someone that is going to really be in the hunt for advantages regardless?
Yes. Like, so I'm definitely somebody that's cognizant of how I'm perceived.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to be the girl that's like doing too much and coming in guns ablaze and searching for idols 24 hours a day, but I'm also not just going to sit around and look at people in their face when nobody here is safe.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try to find a delicate balance between pedal to the metal and like, all right, girl, relax.
I'm so intrigued from your perspective as a visual artist. Do you think that makes you like a shoo-in for puzzles that literally have to complete a picture?
No, you know what? All right. So if I'm like chilling and I like can sit down and relax, I think I'm pretty good with puzzles. I'm great at seeing like, you know, the bigger picture and, you know, fine little details. Mm. I'm good at recognizing those. But under pressure, I'm a little bit of a wackadoodle. So I'm like, I'm the person that is always, I should have seen that. Like when my anxiety starts to ramp up, it's like I just see colors, lights, and swirls. And I'm definitely not the girl that's volunteering to do the puzzles. Although I'm good at them, that's in a relaxed environment. Like, not when I'm hot and starving and fighting for my life.
Yeah. When it comes to preparation, I mean, was that a part of your process? What have you been doing to try to get ready for this experience?
Oh, for sure. I've definitely been doing a lot more puzzles. But, like, that's something that I enjoy anyway.
Yeah.
But one thing I was definitely very determined to do was get in, like, you know, a really good physical condition, because I know this game is really hard on the body. So, like, I was working out, like, 5 or 6 times a week, swimming, lifting, running, climbing, like, I did a lot to get ready for this.
Yeah, you don't want to be that person, right, that go to tribal council. We got to keep the tribe strong.
And that was, like, my main point for doing that. Because, like, when it comes down to, like, the individual challenges, you figure it out as you figure it out. But in the beginning, most of the time, people don't know each other. They don't have a real reason to vote anybody out. So they're looking to get rid of the weakest link. And I refuse to be that weak link. Can't compete in the individual immunity challenges if you don't get there.
Exactly. Talk to me about your typical decision-making process. When you have to make an important decision in your life, are you someone that, like, walks through a typical method? Are you someone that says, I'm just going to go with what my gut tells me, somewhere in between?
It's definitely somewhere in between. And I think it's a depending on the day.
Mm.
Because some days I'm like, all right, I've thought about this situation 117 times and I still don't have a decision.
Yeah,
I can be pretty indecisive sometimes. But then there are days where I'm like pretty impulsive and I'm like, yep, gut telling me to do this, going with it. I'll deal with the consequences later.
What do you think the proportion is going to be out here?
It's got to be 50-50. There has to be like a fine and delicate balance out here, because some days you have to go with your gut because you have no other information.
Mm.
But then other days you have a lot of information and you have to sift through what you can trust and what you can't.
Mm. What is your hottest Survivor take? What do you think is your most controversial opinion about a player, a season, the show in general?
I don't think this is a hot take, because I doubt I'm the only person that feels this way, but I don't know why people just don't know how to shut the fuck up. Like, why do you feel that when you get an advantage or an idol that you have to tell somebody? Time and time again, Survivor history has proven to us that revealing your advantages is a poor decision for gaining trust.
Yeah.
All they're going to do is use that as a bargaining chip to gain trust with somebody else. Shut your ass up. Shut up.
Yeah. And well, I mean, you could use that to your advantage, though.
Oh,
if
for
people
sure.
are coming to you, you're like,
oh,
okay,
yeah,
great.
Baby, tell me all the secrets. Tell me everything, because I'm going to tell the next guy. Like,
let me throw another hypothetical at you.
Okay.
You could bring a celebrity or a fictional character out as a loved one on the island. Who are you picking?
Ooh, that's a good one. Damn, you definitely threw a curveball at me. I think I would bring Hermione Granger.
Okay.
Because that's my girl. Like, I'm really big. I'm a really big fan of the Harry Potter series. And I feel like Hermione is somebody who would be able to give me the advice that I need to really get through this game. There's not much that girl doesn't know.
True.
So if I was out here, and by the time you get to the loved ones visit, you down bad usually.
Yeah.
So if I could just have a conversation with my girl, I feel like she would get me through to the end of the game.
Now, are we talking like beginning of books, Leviosa, Hermione? Or are we talking like end game?
I'm talking end game Hermione.
Like fine with breaking all the rules.
Yeah,
Hermione.
End game Hermione been through some shit. End game Hermione has been through some shit, and she's going to be able to tell me what I need to know to finish this fight for my life.
Oh, my God. All right, well, last question. I got to like take the opportunity with you as an artist.
Okay.
Describe to me like what picture is in your mind right now when you're thinking about your feelings towards preparing for this adventure of a lifetime.
Okay. Right now, it's a vortex.
Mm.
It's a vortex of colors, lights, swirls, a little bit of jagged rocks, trees.
Don't climb those rocks.
I'm not. Hell no. I was so pissed off. What was his name? Dan?
Matthew.
Matthew. I'm sorry. I was so pissed off when Matthew climbed that rock and fell off. Like, my boy, you are putting your body in danger for shits and giggles. Like, come on, my guy. But yeah, no. So it's definitely it's like a swirling vortex. You don't really know what's on the other side, but it's so beautiful. You got to jump in and see what's going down.
Amazing. Well, I'm excited to jump in and see what's going down with you.
Me too.
This is so much fun. This was such a great talk with you. You
awesome.
Are such a fantastic personality. I think you have such a great head for things and such a sense of creativity that, like, I'm really pumped to see the canvas you're going to paint on over the course of this game.
I like that. I like
you,
that.
You
that
can use
good.
It. You can use it if you want
you
to.
You know what? Let me write that down
in
my Survivor handbook.
All right. There you have it. Tiffany.
Isn't she great?
Yeah. No, she's very good.
She's a lot of fun. She's going to be a big character on Yanu, which is already kind of filled with big characters.
Yeah, I think that she seems like very balanced in sort of like, you know, that we have like a lot of like extreme, you know, people at the you know, that are very like have like a superpower, but a weakness. But I feel like that she seems like somebody who seems like a pretty balanced person who's coming in.
What I really appreciated from Tiffany, among many things, was that self-introspection and that ability to say, yeah, I'm delusional. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I live in Tiffany's world, but that's just kind of the way that I do things. Yes, I think in a perfect world, you would try to fix those flaws. But the next best thing is to just take those flaws and adapt them into who you are and how you play the game subsequently. And so despite the fact that Tiffany had, I think, some rather unique answers to the questions that I was asking, I think she's one of those unicorn players that might be able to, like, pull off some of these flaws that we might write off on other players and do pretty well.
Yeah. So, yes, she is coming in that she is like has some of the entrepreneurial stuff that we talked about with Kenzie, and that she's like, you know, a self-starter. She's like, you know, is a freelancer. And she seems like she's very fun. She's not averse to taking risks. She plays the lotto.
Yeah, she loves gambling, which will be really fun. I just imagine her getting sent on like every journey. She's forcing rocks. Anytime she can to go to random chance, she's going to take it because she said she's lucky, what, 88% of the time? That's a B+, Rob.
That's pretty good.
I mean, definitely better than the other 87 numbers. So that was one of the many answers I appreciated about Tiffany. And interestingly, linking up with Q as well. We'll certainly talk about their association, but both Q and Tiffany are like, yeah, I'm really lucky. I mean, Q more so put it in the way of like, you make your own luck, Hugo Hurley Reyes style. Tiffany's like, nope, I'm God's favorite child.
GC. Anyway, so Tiffany, now with Q, do you feel like that this is going to be a match made in Survivor Heaven?
I absolutely do. When Tiffany talks about the preparation she put in, she really made sure she put the physical above all else, which maybe is a shortcoming we could talk about. You know, her talking about how she crumbles under pressure, even with puzzles where she should have like a visual advantage. That might not be good, especially as I mentioned before, in a tribe that may be a bit brawnier than brainier. But I do think that she is one of the physically stronger women on the season. And so I very much can see her and Q vibing with one another, getting along, feeling like, okay, we're the two biggest physical assets for the tribe. Let's look out for one another. And then therefore they sort of find themselves in a position of leadership subsequently. I really think these are the two that are going to run Yanu.
Okay. So should we start to fold everybody else into this? Wait, okay. If you have Tiffany and Q at the center of things, do you have a third?
I mean, I think it's got to be Kenzie. Now, it's interesting because Kenzie, despite sticking out so much, was not mentioned by these other two. But again, I just come in with so much possibility for Kenzie as like someone who seems to get along with just about anybody, who has, again, that really positive vibe and energy to her. I do think that both Q and Tiffany would want that. I think especially from like a creativity and artistic perspective. I mean, listen, Tiffany is a visual artist. Kenzie's covered in art. That's a conversation right there that you could have on Yanu Beach.
But I also feel like that Jess and Tiffany would get along.
I could see Jess getting along as well with Tiffany. I feel like the two of them are both really quirky. They were definitely two of the funniest interviews I had out there.
I feel like that she's a coder and she's working in graphic design. Like, I kind of feel like that there's sort of like a like shared industry there, right?
Oh, they could definitely share like Illustrator hacks. That's for sure. And I also think they have a shared attitude of you can't tell me what to do. Like, it is wild to me that Tiffany decided to start becoming a visual artist as a vocation merely because someone said, you can't do it. You won't. And she did it. Like, that is amazing. That's why I can never be on this show. These are the types of people that apply.
That's what happened to me with the Suits podcast, Mike.
Exactly. And Sam Moore is regretting every time someone told you that you can't do something. I will also say, though, she obviously emphasized a lot of her artistry in my interview with her. And if you go to her website, tiffany-nicole.com, you can find out a lot about her artist pseudonym, Tiffy Crazy Cool, which
Tiffy Crazy Cool.
Yeah, that is her Instagram handle. That seems to be like her artist identity.
Wow.
And I think she was able to represent all of those facets within the interview as well. She was Tiffy. She was a little crazy and she was cool ultimately. But up to that point, because she talks about, again, sort of like striking out on her own in 2020 in her bio after getting fired from her job to become purely an artist. Before that, she actually had a pretty storied career as on-air talent, Rob.
Okay, what did she do?
She did red carpets for BET at events like the Met Gala and the Grammys. So Tiffany is somebody who I think is also not going to shy away from the microphone at Tribal Council. I think that's going to help a lot as well. Her and Q, both. As I think both of them, you could tell from my interview with them, the energy they give off, I think shows that like they can command a room with their presence. And so I do think they are not afraid to like buck up to somebody if they're trying to challenge something that either Q or Tiffany said. But yeah, Tiffany has some elocution skills to die for.
Where does Jelinski fit in with this group?
That's a great question, because we initially spoke about, okay, Banu and Jelinski, they're both soft souls. You know, they're both bleeding hearts. They could bond over that. Jelinski called out Banu as like someone that he wanted to work with. I could certainly see Jelinski really reaching out to Banu in those early days. But again, I really see the Banu and Kenzie connection as well. I think that they're very kindred spirits too. So it might be a case where it's like Tiffany and Q, then, you know, you have Kenzie and Jess. I think they kind of fit in with them as a four. Banu, I could see them bring along as well as someone who is easy to get along with and someone who's a physical asset as well as a bit of a provider as well, given his background. And then Jelinski, I'm not sure. You know, I think Jelinski certainly has the stature to prove himself in
his
challenges.
He's big. Is he an athlete, Jelinski?
Jelinski did play basketball in high school, which, remember, was not that long ago for him.
I think Q wants to keep the athletes around. So I'm wondering if we could end up like getting into like this men versus women type divide.
Yeah, very bellow. But he was also a quiz bowl captain, and Q would love the Q in quiz bowl. So maybe he just wants to go with that purely for the accidents of it all. I could see the men coming together initially and the women, but I would also imagine due to like the social powers of someone like Tiffany, that she could easily get Q over on her side to vote their way if it does come to that. Now, I guess the other question is, Rob, now that you've seen the full profile of these six people, knowing the challenges we usually get in the pre-merge, I mean, what do you think the chances are of them winning out, to your point, of Q's perfect plan?
I mean, I think it's certainly possible. I don't know a lot of the makeup of what the other tribes are like. So I feel like that this seems like a pretty strong group, but I just don't have anything to compare it to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that this tribe will do well in the majority of challenges. Again, my hangup goes back to the puzzles, where Jess is someone who has practiced them. Kenzie and Tiffany have said they've practiced as well, but it doesn't really feel like they necessarily have a ringer in the puzzles. It feels like they definitely have strength for days, but as we know, puzzles are the great equalizer. So who knows? This tribe might be the surprising one that goes to Tribal Council more often than we think, or they could be in a direction where like they go early and then they're able to rally and like win out for the rest of the pre-merge, which might help somebody like Jess, for instance. And let this all be said, I'm more than happy to be wrong. I would love to see like Jess have an Emily-like arc where she may be set up for an early boot and then goes on to like crush the remainder
of
the game.
Or like Aubrey Caron.
Yeah, exactly. Or to have someone like Hugh or Tiffany, who are really prognosticating to go far, just absolutely get hoisted by their own petard, their purple tard, and fall early on. Like, we love surprises here on Survivor, so I'm happy to have our predictions not come true. Rob, going back to a bit on Tiffany, I just want to get your final thoughts on her. Where do you think her arc is this season?
I feel like that she's somebody who I just think is going to be like very likable. Like, I see that she's going to be able to make risks or take risks and make big moves. So I have high hopes for Tiffany overall.
Yeah, I think she's going to be a very fun TV presence when she talks about the facial expressions that she can't hide. She literally told me she was, quote, a bit of a wackadoodle. And when you're a self-admitted wackadoodle from one to another, That's mm-hmm. going to make for some fantastic entertainment. So I think no matter what, the fandom is going to love her. And I think she has the physical skills coupled with, again, to your point, that experience of kind of navigating a bunch of different egos and presences to get her way a substantial part into the game. I think where I'm worried is like, when will that reputation precede her? You know, will it get to a point where everyone looks around and realizes, oh yeah, she is way too threatening to take to the end of this game? Someone like Q, I think, obviously has that just by the way he comports himself. And even though he's lying about his real estate job, as a coach, you're like, okay, he's going to be good in the challenges. Let's not take him to the end. I think something that's giving me a bit more misgivings as opposed to somebody like Kenzie, who I think can more blend into the background, is Tiffany does have more of a physical presence. And we saw someone like Dee still have that and still crush her way to a demanding win. I don't know if Tiffany can do the same thing, but God, I would love to see it.
Yeah, I think that she is going to be somebody who has that killer instinct. You know, she talked about how she relates to Shan, who certainly had that. And so I think that she has like the likability of like somebody like Lauren Ashley Beck. So I think that she brings a lot of like good skill sets, that she seemingly is athletic. And so, yeah, I think that she's a real contender. And I feel like that she doesn't have like such a such an obvious threat that you need to be like a little bit camouflaged to win.
Well, she paints well, so you know she could paint some camouflage on her. I completely agree. I think she is someone you could pick from this tribe as a possible winner candidate. And I'm glad she shattered out Shan, because I do feel like Shan sort of, I think for some postseason reasons, has kind of gotten like written off in the annals of recent Survivor history. But like,
maybe not even from the postseason of this show.
Yeah, I mean, but we can't forget just like how much she was running shit for the vast majority of that game. And seemingly like, susceptibly, seemingly something that people were not necessarily catching on to until it was too late. She had a lot of people wrapped around her finger. And I feel like much like Shan, Tiffany could exploit the sort of like 6-person tribe structure to say, I'm going to make these one-on-one connections. I'm going to have people trust in me first and foremost so that I'm going to be the one to ultimately make the decisions that's best for my game. Hopefully without then the Shan follow through of maybe Q being the Ricard and being like, no, she's way too threatening. Now, I guess unlike Ricard, Q is somebody that wants to go to the end with as many threats as possible so that he survives. But, you know, I'm hoping that Tiffany is able to finish what Shan started here.
Okay. All right, Mike. Well, great job. One tribe is down. Who are we going to be talking about when we get together next?
Well, we're hitting the on button and pressing start because we're playing some Sega, the Sega tribe. It's going to be the next group that we are getting into. And my first two interviews will be with Ben and Charlie.
Okay. All right. Ben and Charlie, when we come back for day 4. Mike, I know you are working hard over on parade.com. What's going on over there?
Yeah, so I have been, much like this podcast, putting out interviews 2 at a time there. At the point that this is coming out, I have just finished releasing all my interviews with the Nami tribe, and I am actually starting with Sega as well. So if you want to follow along and you want written versions of these same interviews that I did, because, again, whatever medium you want to, feel free to check it out at parade.com, and you can follow everything I'm doing on social media on Cameo at a Mike Bloom type.
All right. Great job, Mike. Of course, make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any of our preseason coverage as we continue on with 2-a-days here in the Survivor 46 preseason. Make sure you subscribe. Go to robiswebsite.com/subscribe. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.